Discovery is back home safely. Europe says the Bombardier Q400 is still airworthy. And are there really 750,000 suspected terrorists trying to fly on U.S. airlines? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, November 8, 2007. What NASA described as one of its most challenging missions ever, and one which became even more complicated as it went along, closed with a textbook landing Wednesday at the Kennedy Space Center. The Space Shuttle Discovery made a circling approach to runway 33 and touched down under sunny Florida skies during its first scheduled window at 1:02 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday. During its stay at the station, the STS-120 crew installed the Harmony Node 2 module and relocated the P-6 truss and solar array. The last of four spacewalks was changed during the mission so the crew could repair a torn solar array on the P-6 truss, then finish its successful deployment. A planned fifth spacewalk was deferred. Discovery also delivered a new station crew member, flight engineer Daniel Tanney. STS-120 was Discovery's 23rd mission. The next mission will be flown by Atlantis in December. Bombardier's veteran Q400, formerly known as the de Havilland Dash 8, got a clean bill of health from European safety regulators on Wednesday. EASA is satisfied there is something unique to the experience of Scandinavian Airlines, which has had three of its Q400s suffer collapsing right main landing gear in less than 2 months. In the first two incidents, in September, both were thought to have been caused by a corroded bolt in the right main gear of each plane, and prompted Bombardier to call for inspections worldwide. When that happened, other airlines flying the high-wing twin turboprop apparently found no similar issues. But the third SAS incident last month has been preliminarily traced to a loose rubber O-ring which may have jammed the gear and kept it from extending. SAS personnel had made an improvised repair 6 days earlier, modifying nose gear parts to fit the right main gear. The decision by EASA means that the Q400 will continue to receive airworthiness certification in Europe. SAS, however, is sticking with its decision to ground its entire fleet of Q400s. The airline's three rapid-fire gear failures are the only ones in the plane's history. Even those who thought the Transportation Security Administration would be a good idea have to be embarrassed by these statistics. The TSA's terrorist watch list now has 755,000 names on it, and 15,000 of those people have pending requests to have their names removed, including one former Navy aviator and 22-year career airline pilot we told you about yesterday. Last month, Lisa Graves of the Center for National Security Studies summarized the obvious in comments to USA Today. Quote, "It undermines the authority of the list. There's just no rational, reasonable estimate that there's anywhere close to that many suspected terrorists," unquote. TSA had a goal of processing requests to be removed from the list in 30 days, but is currently running 44 days behind. The paper on Wednesday highlighted the case of 6-year-old John William Anderson, who's been on the watch list since at least 2004. His family faces extra inconveniences on every flight because the child is on the TSA terrorist watch list, and his mom can't figure out the website or paperwork to get him off. Representative Benny Thompson, chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, has promised to grill TSA officials at a hearing into the matter today. Raytheon is claiming two more successful test intercepts for its Aegis ballistic missile defense system. In a first-of-its-kind dual missile defense test, on Tuesday, two Raytheon company-built Standard Missile 3s fired from a U.S. Navy ship simultaneously intercepted and destroyed two short-range ballistic missile targets in space. Raytheon says this was the first time a Navy ship demonstrated simultaneous engagements against ballistic missile targets outside the Earth's atmosphere. The crew of the guided missile cruiser USS Lake Erie fired both SM-3 intercepting missiles after personnel at the Navy's Pacific Missile Range facility on Kauai launched the ballistic missile targets. The Japanese guided missile destroyer JS Kongo also participated to detect, track, and conduct a simulated engagement of the targets using its newly installed Aegis system. The system is designed for deployment on cruisers and destroyers to defend against short-to-intermediate-range ballistic missile threats in the mid-course phase of their flight. Raytheon also is developing the kinetic warhead for the SM-3. Up next on ANN, China says its lunar probe is doing even better than predicted. Lunar orbit could be a crowded place in the next couple of years. And could Boeing face further delays in the Dreamliner? You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 8, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. China's state news agency reports its first lunar probe successfully entered lunar orbit on Monday, and by the end of the week should be in a position to begin its mission. Chang'e 1 fired its braking rockets on Monday to enter a high orbit over the moon. A second firing on Tuesday, and a third scheduled for later this week, will place the probe into its final working orbit. Scientists looking forward to the probe's data are excited by reports that the probe may have enough remaining fuel on board to roughly double the length of the mission, which was originally planned for 1 year. When placed in its final orbit, Chang'e 1 will circle the moon every 127 minutes at a constant altitude of 125 miles above the surface. First images from the probe will be transmitted later this month. Conspiracy theorists who cling to the notion that the Apollo moon landings were faked will be disappointed to know that Chang'e 1's camera lacks the resolution to discern a human footprint on the surface from 125 miles up. Sorry, guys. Lunar orbit could be a busy place soon. India is known to be working on a lunar probe of its own, and now it looks as if Germany could be next. Reuters quoted a senior German official on Wednesday in reporting that Germany hopes to put an unmanned spacecraft into lunar orbit sometime after 2010. Peter Hintz, the government's aerospace coordinator, told reporters the purpose would be more than just gathering research data. Quote, "It is also a chance for Germany to prove its competence in this area," unquote. He said Germany's Lunar Exploration Orbiter, or LEO for short, could be launched as soon as 2012, but, quote, "the political decision has not been made yet," unquote. In current satellite jargon, LEO means low Earth orbit, so the term could be confusing, but the proposed German probe would certainly be in a low lunar orbit 30 miles above the surface, as opposed to 125 miles for the current Chinese probe. Boeing says any talk of price concessions to pre-launch Dreamliner customers to compensate for delays in the 787's development are premature, but that isn't stopping industry speculation. Boeing's biggest 787 airline customer to date, Qantas, says it's developing a contingency plan in case Boeing announces another delay in the program, and several analysts expect that to happen. Qantas CEO Jeff Dixon told the Chicago Tribune his company can wait 6 months more for its Dreamliners, but, quote, "anything longer will certainly make our life more difficult," unquote. Dixon told the paper he's unhappy with Boeing's reluctance to finalize plans for a larger version of the Dreamliner, dubbed the 787-10, and it may result in the airline buying a version of the Airbus A350-XWB instead of adding to its current 26-plane order for Dreamliners. Cirrus Design announced a milestone this week, saying its fleet of SR-20 and 22 aircraft recently passed the 2 million flight hour milestone. Just over 3,500 of the aircraft have been built over the past 9 years. To put that in perspective, that's enough miles to go to the sun and back more than twice, or more than 15,000 trips around the world. CEO Alan Klapmeyer said it was the company's intent to provide customers great utility based around comfort, performance, and most importantly, safety. Quote, "Achieving the 2 million flight hour mark demonstrates our commitment to our customers and determination to grow the industry has been working," unquote. Cirrus builds 16 aircraft per week, and the company says the SR-22 remains the industry's top-selling fixed-wing airplane. The Cirrus fleet is serviced through more than 170 Cirrus service centers worldwide. Still ahead, Brazil's troubled aviation scene gets more bad news. If you don't drink on airline flights, this could make you start. and Barack Obama's campaign charter pilot won't be on his shortlist to fly Air Force One. You're listening to Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, November 8, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. Brazil's airline industry has struggled with two high-profile fatal accidents in a year, decaying air traffic control infrastructure and labor relations, and at least one accident investigation heavily compromised by politics. Now it has seen 4.6% of its nation's flights canceled in one fell swoop due to one carrier's financial problems. Reuters reports that BRA Transportes Aéreos announced it has suspended all flights. The airline hopes it will be temporary and is seeking a massive infusion of operating capital. The carrier started service in 1999 as a small charter operation, but today it flies to 26 cities in Brazil and three international routes using a 10-plane fleet of Boeing 737s and 767s. Besides inconveniencing travelers, BRA's announcement of the suspension could impact Embraer. In June, BRA announced an order for 20 passenger jets in a deal worth an estimated $736 million. In a statement to ANN on Wednesday, Embraer said it is carefully following the subject and that any developments which may arise will not have a negative effect on delivery forecasts previously disclosed by the company. A group of seven investors, including Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, and Darby Investments, bought 20% of BRA in June. Reuters reports the airline is controlled by two brothers, Umberto and Walter Folagatti. Not everyone drinks alcoholic beverages on airline flights, I don't, but there may be a few more who do after Wednesday. IOL reports a nationwide Boeing 737 with 106 passengers on board had its right engine separate from the wing during takeoff from Cape Town International Airport on Wednesday afternoon. Flight CE-723 was bound for Johannesburg, but reportedly made a wide-circling turn, dumped fuel, and prepared passengers for an emergency landing. The news service reports customers cheered the pilot after what turned out to be a soft, routine landing. The airline says there were no injuries among passengers and crew, but trauma counselors were provided in a passenger holding area after the plane landed. Six flights were diverted while the runway was closed to clear debris. South Africa's Civil Aviation Authority is investigating. The Associated Press reports Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama was an hour late for a rally at a community college in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, Tuesday night, after his charter plane landed 100 miles away at the wrong airport. Apparently, the first clue was the absence of a car waiting to whisk him away to the campaign appearance. It turned out Obama had landed in Des Moines, 100 miles west of plan. The crowd reportedly broke out in dancing and chanting, waiting for him to arrive. I'm guessing there's one pilot who need not apply to fly Air Force One if Obama is elected president. And finally, there are just so many things we can do while we wait to find out who will be our next president, who will win the next Super Bowl, or who will wind up with final custody of Britney's kids. One of the more popular time killers during cliffhangers worldwide is betting on the outcome. Now, we're not sure Las Vegas oddmakers have lines going on who will win the bidding for bankrupt Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing later this month, but fortunately, Rick Belzer, former Columbia sales VP and now one of the company's unsecured creditors, has stepped in to fill the gap. In a special report for ANN, Rich has rated the odds of the four major bidders, and surprisingly, he believes the effort by Cirrus Design has the edge right now, with 4-3 odds, and believes Rocket Racing League CEO and venture capitalist Granger Whitelaw is the long shot. You can read Rich's complete analysis in the printed version of this story on our website at aero-news.net, and even get in on the action with a link from the bottom of the story. Oh, and an important note to regulators, that link is a poll, not actual wagering. But we can be fairly sure that the results of the poll will have no actual influence on the bidding, ensuring that what happens in cyberspace stays in cyberspace. Cyberspace. Or should we coin another aero term? No, I think aerospace is already a word. Anyway, that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Kevin Lancaster, CEO of True Flight Aerospace. Kevin's company is about to restart production on the plane formerly known as the Grumman Tiger from a new factory in his hometown of Valdosta, Georgia. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. That's Aero, A-E-R-O. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.